Hi everyone, welcome to episode 3 of the hashtag Bleed Green co-curricular podcast. Thank you very much to PE, Mr. Harrison and Mr. King for episodes 1 and 2, particularly Mr. Harrison for singing us out at the end. Episode 3 is the drama department's turn for one episode. I'm joined by 4 of our drama ambassadors, Ryan, Evie, Charmaine and Freya, and also Miss Moore is here to join us this afternoon. Guys, we are finally back in school rather than having to do this on Zoom. How are we feeling about being back?
It's good. The point of sitting at my desk for 12 hours a day and missing actual proper social interaction. I mean, just the atmosphere of school again has been pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be back. It's nice to get a more structured approach to learning than online.
Yeah, I think one thing that's really nice about being back is at home you're only doing like the academic side of like drama, yeah. So coming back you get to do like practical side, and kind of it's like the only way of de-stressing in a way, like doing theatre and stuff, so I'm really happy.
Yeah, definitely. I've missed practical drama like so much, and we came back and Miss Rogers was like, okay, so we can't really do musical showcase anymore, but we're going to do Footloose now. And we've been having such a blast. It's been so much fun. Yeah.
How have you felt about the lesson length? Like, because we went from 40 minutes online, didn't we, where I felt, for teachers, it was like, boom, the lesson's done. How have you felt sort of coming back to having, like, the longer lessons?
It's been a shock to the system, to say the least. Yeah. Like, I'll look at the clock in a lesson and I'll realise that we've still got 50 minutes left. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, only the boring lessons. Obviously.
Yes, obviously. Oh, yeah.
Drama still.
Drama. Yeah.
Still whizzes by.
Yeah, so it's taken some getting used to.
I realise how short my attention span is.
Yeah.
So it came out, I was like, I can't concentrate. Oh, I can't do this. Oh.
I think you notice how short your attention span was in lockdown? Or
I noticed how short my attention span is when I came back.
So do you think you're actually better on your own than you are now with loads of people?
In ways, yeah. Because everything is so much more condensed. So I get it over and done with in like 40 minutes. And I come back and it's like 55 minutes. Do a starter for 10 minutes in the lesson, and then they talk, and then you have discussion in the middle of it. And for me, I'm just like, just feed me the information, get it done.
Yeah, just tell me what I need to know, and I'll do it myself.
Yeah, but it's still nice to be back in the classroom, because that's how we used to doing it. So, yeah.
So on that note, thinking about, you know, the PE department did the kilometres challenge, and that was spoken about in episode 2. You know, it was about getting people active in lockdown. I think what's equally important for us, obviously we're a creative subject, is did you guys manage to stay creative in lockdown? And if so, what did you do to stay creative? Ryan, I know that you did.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing multiple auditions for loads of different things. So the main one currently, I auditioned for the National Youth Music Theatre. So that started with a proper self-tape, sort of. And I consider that good practice to what potentially could be how we audition from now on, because you know that's one thing that changed because of lockdown, and if that continues into the future, because that, you know, lower costs for loads of reasons. So I did long self-tape for that, and then I did a Zoom recall with them a bit more recently. So that's one big way I'm staying creative.
Do you think that's going to help you with more auditions? So even if they just went face-to-face, do you think that you would continue?
Well, yes, it was an opportunity to properly give it a go, you know, use material that I can continue to use for years to come, you know, see if it works in an audition environment. So this was just good audition practice if I get in or not. So I think it was a really good prep for the real world.
Freya, you also did audition tapes and things like that, didn't you, for drama school?
Yeah, drama school.
How did you find recording yourself?
It was beneficial in the way that you got a really immediate way to see what your monologue actually looked like from another person's point of view, because when you're kind of in a rehearsal room, filming yourself isn't something that you necessarily do. Like, sometimes it's something you do as a part of the rehearsal process in order to be able to look at it from an audience perspective, but in general it's not something that you do. So that was sort of quite interesting, but it also made it quite easy to be very critical of myself. And something about just doing it in front of a camera, especially like the first few takes, because I wasn't used to it, made it feel much more stilted than it would be like in front of an audience, or even in front of an audition panel, like, despite being in front of an audition panel being like a really nerve-wracking environment, I don't know, I feel like maybe it lost something there just because it wasn't in front of actual people, and I'm so used to performing with others.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. So we've had, you know, with Max Becken and Ellen Stone, who are, you know, our ex-students, after we had the Interhouse Drama entries, I had a Zoom call with them. We reviewed a lot of the videos and they helped us judge it. And I was asking them about their experience of auditions, because they're going through their second round now. They just say they, every time they watch the video, they find it so difficult and they don't think it's as good as it would be if they're in front of people. I think it does lose something, doesn't it? And it's, I think it's hard for people who don't particularly understand performance or don't particularly understand what it's like to perform in front of people. I think I'd be very different. I think I never auditioned for drama school, but I think if I had to audition for a camera, I actually massively respect you guys, the fact that you can actually have the commitment to be able to film yourself and do it again and do it again and do it again and send it off to someone to be critiqued, and, you know, sending it to us guys for feedback and stuff. I think it's a really brave thing at this point in time, but due to COVID, it's just, it is reality, isn't it, at the moment?
And also there was a point at which where you just have to be like, okay, this has to be good enough now, I've just got to send it. Like, you can't just keep on re-recording it, because it's just, it can get really demoralising. But also there was like, it was funny because I was like, I have to kind of project my voice like quite a lot, and I'm upstairs, like, my brother's next door and I don't really want him to like hear me doing Shakespeare, and it's just a bit like, oh.
Yeah, it's about finding, yeah, you're through COVID and being at home, even though where how Charmaine was saying she liked it because you're so individual, actually, like, you're not either, yeah, are you? I think for me, what it loses when you're having to do it in front of a camera, I think it's great for rehearsal. I think it's great for self-evaluation. But surely drama is about human interaction and human presentation and being able to get a reaction from other human beings. So therefore, when you're doing it in front of someone else, you can see a facial expression, you can see a glint in that examiner's eye or whatever it is, and you feed off that, don't you? So when you're doing it in front of a camera, that human reaction and interaction is lost.
Charmaine and Evie, I know we've kind of talked about drama school a lot, but did you guys get up to anything creative in lockdown or a new hobby which you picked up?
I mean, my lockdown was kind of uneventful, not going to lie.
So was everyone, sure.
I did watch quite a lot of, like, National Theatre, kind of, like, pre-recorded plays for academics and stuff. And I read some plays just to enrich, you know, academically. But I'm also a dancer, so I trained a little bit just to keep up and don't lose the stamina. But I didn't really do a lot of, like, extravagant stuff to stay creative for lockdown.
YouTube.
I do edit videos.
I do.
Ooh, like
the channel.
Yeah, and I start editing a lot of, like, my own, like, vlogs and stuff like that.
Charmaine and I have a joint YouTube channel called Trio Dawn.
Check it out. It's worth it, I promise.
New videos if we've done our prep. That is our motto.
Yeah.
Bit of free advertising on the Gordon's podcast. Yeah, no, yeah. This is a cheeky club.
But, yeah, I do enjoy filming and editing and, like, photo shooting. Like, I think that's something that I discovered. Because that is something that you can use with, like, dead objects. You don't have to have a human in front of you in order to film something.
Sorry, just dead objects makes me feel like they had to be living at some point.
As in, like,
inanimate objects.
Non-living organisms. I don't know.
Yeah. That still makes them an organism.
Charmaine, going back to the dancing, where were you dancing? Was it just in your bedroom? Were you filming yourself? Were you watching it back?
I'm too chicken to record myself, so I didn't record myself. But I usually dance in the kitchen. That's like the only place where there's enough amount of space for me to like move. But you know when you have, like...
What a great image that is. Just someone dancing in the kitchen.
It's me in my kitchen. And my mum will walk in, I'll stop. Because I don't...
Your parents banging the pots and pans in the back.
it's an improv musical routine. But, it's quite hard because I live with my parents, so, and I get really embarrassed when they watch me when I practice. So whenever they come in, I just kind of freeze and then wait for them to leave and continue. But I didn't really self-monitor that much, except for like when I'm looking in like into the glass, the window, and that was when I can kind of see the slight reflection. But yeah, I didn't have the courage of Freya or Ryan to like self-record myself, which is something I should probably work on.
Yeah, but I only had that courage because I had to.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it was, oh, this sounds fun.
It wasn't a choice.
But yeah, in terms of that, it was more like self-training and just keeping up with that stamina. Because if you lose it, you kind of do, and it takes time to keep it up. And that is something that I find with like music and stuff. I didn't have piano at home, and when I came back to school after 3 months of not moving my fingers, I couldn't play the pieces like I used to. So, yeah.
Again, just not moving my fingers at all throughout COVID.
It's sad though, isn't it? It's like, I think that's where drama and music and the arts has taken such a massive hit, isn't it? With lockdown, I think people who don't have the facilities at home in order to practice music and sing and dance with other people and choreograph routines and work with other people, I think that's what we really missed, isn't it? Now that we're back, now I'm choreographing Footloose.
An absolute masterpiece.
Stay tuned. Yes. It's my second choreography moment, to be fair.
Who would have thought that COVID would have brought out...
Exactly. It brought out a new side of me. I've actually spent my entire lockdown at home just channeling Footloose. I'm thinking, when I get back...
You totally don't make up the choreography on the spot. That's like absolutely not what you do.
No, you wouldn't be able to tell.
So organised.
Evie, creativity in lockdown.
It's funny that Charmaine said about not like being able to record and things like that because of your family being home, because I had the exact same issue. I had singing lessons on Zoom, and the only place I could get good connection was in my kitchen. And so I was doing these singing lessons in my kitchen, and one day, you already know the story about this, the front door, oh my gosh, we're getting a new front door. It was very stressful. When brother was walking in, I was screaming Adele at the top of my lungs. Very stressful. But I found myself taking up very random hobbies as well, like baking. Who would have thought?
Oh,
but
yeah, I did so much baking too.
Yeah, so for Valentine's Day, a lot of my friends couldn't see their boyfriends or girlfriends, so I ended up making cupcakes and just dropping them around.
Aww. Aww. That is so sweet.
That's the greatest success story of lockdown.
I think it just shows the level of boredom that I got to, that I turned to baking. And I also took up running, which I never thought I would say in my entire life, but... Here we are.
So you were delivering cupcakes to other people's boyfriends?
You just made something really nice sound really bad.
No, not bad at all. I mean, as in like...
Sir, did you do anything creative over lockdown? Or like anything, maybe non-drummery? Did you,
I finally... So I've been with Year 13. A couple of years ago, I actually wrote a song for themes in one of the plays that we study. And eventually I actually recorded it and sent it to these guys because they were desperate to hear it, mainly because I'd promised that I'd sing it live.
We've only
been nagging
you for like
months. Or not even have to shave a beard. That was the deal.
That was the deal, to be fair.
Was it worth the wait?
Yeah. It was a highlight to my week for sure, because it was just something that you wouldn't expect to get from a teacher, and it was just a song that he'd written. Like, that just shows the dedication of the drama.
Yeah. It made me like really happy.
So wholesome.
Like, it got uploaded and I watched it and I was like, oh.
Yeah, it was a serotonin boost.
I missed the
slacking bit of serotonin during
the family vibes from drama. I just missed it.
Yeah,
it was nice. Absolutely.
Ryan, you get that joy next year.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Other than that, did I stay creative in lockdown? I did it in a way, I guess. We kept the playwriting going on a Thursday. So we were meeting online. So we're part of a national playwriting competition. Really creative, I think, in the way that they were planned. And actually the fact that we had 10 students online every Thursday. The fact that actually then... that was an hour which they dedicated after school when they'd been online for 6 hours already that day to then add, you know, a seventh hour to their day was really nice. So we spent an hour every Thursday talking about plays and playwriting, and they were, you know, they were sharing some scenes. That was really nice. That's not really me being creative, that's them being creative. But yeah, I just ran. I started running that. I got really competitive in that kilometer challenge, and then it got to a point where I was getting beaten by a lot of people. So I just decided to run a half marathon.
People were running loads,
jump myself up the table. Ludlow and Sam Morrow, amazing, those two. That was spoken about in episode 2, but fair play. Right, moving on. We are at this point now. You guys are all A-level drama students and drama ambassadors and have been in various shows. I've seen you do things at Gordon's. We've obviously trained and gone to university to do drama, done loads of performances, and now obviously our drama teachers. But I think there's always a really nice story to people's first experiences or first memories of performing. I'm interested to just hear what they were.
Well, I asked that question to my mum last night because I was like, I can't think very far. I'm like, what's your first thing? And she said, do you remember in reception when you wrote an opera? No joke, this is the first I've heard of it. I have no recollection of this. She said I wrote an opera in reception.
Right, come on, Ryan, talk to me. What is this opera about? What are you writing
about? I don't know, I have no clue. She wouldn't elaborate. For whatever reason, I don't know. whether it was a high point or such a low point that we cannot mention it again. I managed to write an opera in reception. But outside of that, I was doing, you know, the stagecoach and whatever. So I did performances with them.
Evie, first experiences of performance?
It's an interesting one. I think my first proper thing was in primary school, and we did a Christmas production every year. And one year I had a debut as a dancing bun. It might have been a hot cross bun. It might have been a Christmas bun. It was just a bun, and it had its own song. We did a little dance number. And I honestly think that was my first experience, and that's just what I knew, that I was just wanted to take drama.
Is it the highlight? Was it the highlight of your acting career?
I think it was. The whole of primary school, I think it was the highlight, really.
A dancing bun.
You might have remembered it, because you were in...
I probably do. I mean, my highlight from primary school.
Yeah.
It was rock star Angel Gabriel.
Oh,
it was like leather jacket and everything.
I think the next year I was a cow or something like that. I don't think it got much more exciting than a cow.
Like, I peaked at that. Yeah.
Do you still feel like you've peaked it, bud?
I don't know. I was really looking forward to Little Shop of Horrors, but COVID got in the way of that, which... So I know Miss Moore's really upset about that as well.
I was so sad about it.
But I do think the bun at the moment was the peak of my acting career.
Miss, what was your first experience of performing? I bet this is a cracker. I'm excited.
The first sort of performing that I remember is sitting in the back seat of a snot green coloured Nova in a car seat. And my mum was going to the shop and she was buying pop socks. I don't know whether you know what pop socks are, but they're basically like tights that sort of come up to your shin. They're just like little tights for your feet. And
socks.
I clearly, at three...
Nylon socks.
They're nylon socks.
Socks.
Socks. They're nylon socks.
In context, socks.
Yes. and I clearly found the... name that they were called Pop Socks, really, really exciting. So made up a whole song about Pop Socks that went like this. Pop Socks, da-na-na-na-na-na-na, Pop Socks, da-na-na-na-na-na-na, Pop Socks. And that's all I can remember. But
Whoa.
It is sung to this day.
Ryan, you've got competition.
I do.
Oh, no, no.
Charmaine, we're going to come to you. First experience of performing.
I started performing quite early because I did dance and I trained in Chinese traditional dance. So it's probably like a dance show or something. But so I don't really have like a really clear memory of it. I do remember getting my first ever lead role when I was in primary school. So I went to school in Hong Kong and every 2 years they do like a variety show performance and you get to choose to do either the English musical or the Chinese musical. And I always chose an English musical because English was my favourite subject. And I remember getting my first role. It was really exciting. Got mic tape and everything. That was like the best of the best. I get mic tape. So cool. Because I was like 10 and that was like the coolest thing. Got to wear heels.
I didn't get one. I'm quite upset about that.
but I also get to wear heels as part of my costume. And that was like the highlight of my childhood, being able to wear heels. But I really remember that particular performance because I did a very stupid mistake of not going to the toilet before the performance. So, like, I was on stage the whole time just, like, acting, but at the same time, like, really trying your heart to hold it in. And it was not fun. That was... And I've learned that from now on, I must go to the toilet before I perform or not I will have a really hard time.
I think that's a part of everyone's pre-performance ritual, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
For some reason, I didn't
know it. It's on the to-do list before you go on stage. It's because they
learn. Yeah, I learned from that.
Life lessons with Charmaine.
Freya, I'm interested in your first performance.
Yeah, so my first actual memory of performing is my parents enrolled me in like a stage school, right? But I think it was called New Youth Theatre, and it was back when we lived in Grantham. And I cried the first morning they sent me there. So I was like, no, it's Saturday, I don't want to be anywhere but home. After that I really enjoyed it, obviously. But my first, thing I ever did was, I was a townsperson in Aladdin. It was, a take on the Disney one. And I got to lead in the line of townspeople for a dance number, so that was great.
Lead townsperson?
I know, look at me. But I have a better story for you.
Here we go.
Again, Fraser's showing up at her lead role.
I was going to say, that was just dropped in.
That's a townsperson.
That
wasn't
a townsperson's background.
Lead townsperson.
Yeah. Lead townsperson, I let in one hour. Okay?
That's a lead to me.
Anyway, when I was in primary school, I think it must have been was it year 4 or 5, I actually can't remember, but we had a nativity, and they were not going to do a conventional nativity, oh no, this nativity consisted of the main character being a camel that went around the Christmas story, so travelled, right? So I was cast as said camel, but I wasn't just any camel, I was the hopeless camel. So, the whole premise...
it's very apt to Gordon's this, isn't it?
true, but the whole premise was basically that this camel was, it was called the hopeless camel, so she was really bad at, actually finding anywhere, so the whole thing was that she kept getting lost, which was how she ended up visiting all the different parts of the Christmas story. So you've got King Herod and all that kind of stuff, and I had a shaggy onesie with pillow stuffed in the back.
So no one had to be the back part of the camel.
No one has to be the back part of the camel.
So I think what we've worked out, guys, is next year Ryan needs to write an opera about a hopeless camel.
Mm-hmm. I have a song for him to include.
Can we hear it?
Can I'm ready for this.
Charmaine also knows the song.
Why are you dragging me into this?
I'm so sorry.
Drag it down.
But you're
going
to have to sing it with me.
I don't actually know the lyrics. I don't always pay attention.
Fairly genuinely hurt there.
You have to do it with your
Just give us a little... just a little snippet. You don't want to ruin the whole musical. Cause...
Well, I only remember a snippet, so that's okay. Great. You ready?
I'm so ready.
I'm so ready.
I've really been waiting for this. You don't understand.
She's the hopeless camel, can't you see? A very hopeless camel, oh dear me. She's witty and she's funny, can't be bossed. But the very hopeless camel keeps getting lost. Harumph, harumph, wiggle the hump.
Right. Oh yes, Mr. That's Harrison. Amazing. Next episode, that's what you're singing us out with, isn't it? Harumph, harumph, wiggle the hump.
Harumph, harumph, now do a jump.
Harumph, waggle the tail.
And oh, that was amazing. Freya, thank you for sharing that with us.
You're so welcome.
That was worth the wait.
It really was.
Yes. Oh yes, excellent. So the final thing that we're going to move on to, if you wanted to change any film into a musical, a stage musical, one, what would be the most ridiculous film you could choose to turn into a stage musical? And two, why? Charmaine?
Transformers.
Can you imagine? Like, just,
I'm surprised,
like,
it doesn't already exist.
Singing robots.
Why not?
In like their robotic voice, but in harmonies.
They've just got like a vocoder.
It can be like a barbershop quartet, but like robot voices. So they've got like that kind of like, I don't know, but Transformers.
And it would be called Transformers the Musical. Simple.
Another one is Fast and Furious, but you condense all of them in like one musical.
Oh,
and it's
Wow.
Chaos.
And it's just a lighting show.
Lots of action.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you could do the thing where it's like a strobe light over like slow-mo action so that it looks like they're going actually fast.
How would you have the cars? What would you do?
Oh, it's physical theatre.
Love that.
Physical theatre.
Interpretive dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan?
I've got a good one. Shaun of the Dead. Have you seen Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah.
That'll be a great musical. You know, it's got its own little subtle romance part, and then it's got, you know, the dangerous, like, oh, zombies.
Sorry, but there has to be like a whole song where they meet the other group that look exactly the same.
Yes, no, for sure.
Whole song.
And then there needs to be like, I really want the character of Nick Frost to just sing this like really unnecessarily dramatic aria.
Just about like, cornetos.
About cornetos, yeah. He's just like, go into the corner shop.
I think you just heard a snippet of the opera.
It is. In the works.
And just like a chorus of zombie song. Like, just a wall of zombie voice would be amazing.
That could actually have potential, Ryan.
I know. Yeah. We're going to keep on the low down.
It's on the Sword and Gordon's podcast, everyone, the whole world's going to know.
Honestly, Ryan Knight is the next Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That's a good shout. You called it first.
Evie, what were you thinking?
I was really stuck with this one, and I actually thought about this for days, and I couldn't come up with anything. I was thinking, you know, Wally. Because you know he goes like Eva and Wally. I feel like that's got some melodic.
So wholesome.
That would be such a cute.
It's
a returning motif.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it would be full of like nice little soft dance numbers, and they do like a little waltz.
Then
it'd
be like an Oompa Loompa song with like all of the big guys and the rocket ship.
No, but you know when they find the plant and he's like. He like lifts it up into the air. They could be a really cute number.
It's like Lion King.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to confess something. I've never seen Wall-E.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you have to.
It's like a classic. It's a Disney film.
It's a classic.
I'm pretty sure it's only like 2007.
Well, classic to young people.
Yeah.
I'm like the Little Mermaid. Classic.
I love the Little Mermaid. To be fair, that. Oh, it's already kind of a musical, I suppose.
It is.
Is there a stage production?
Yes, there is. Sierra Borges played her.
Charmaine's on it.
Freya.
I was thinking Star Wars, but like the first original. So what is it? Episode 4.
New Hope.
Yeah, New Hope. I don't know. I feel like we could really butcher John Williams' score. I think it could be great.
Yeah, because it's already got a score all of it, yeah, so it's like a starting point.
Like,
that's great.
Theme, which is quite nice, and then there's like, obviously Darth Vader's theme. You could have some fun theme, like rallying cry of Imperial soldiers or something.
Freya forced me to watch it with her.
Good.
I was so confused.
Yes,
I slept. They're iconic.
Me too.
They are iconic.
Controversial opinions on this podcast.
No.
Also, though, the prequels are just so beautifully memeable. It's great.
I love that. That's what's important.
Oh, absolutely. That and Padme Amidala's costumes.
Obviously.
There we go. To be fair, A New Hope is a good title for a musical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or even just a song, and it can feature a dancing bun and a camel. Somewhere in there.
I have no idea in terms of film. I think Jaws of the musical could be interesting.
Yeah.
Jaws on stage.
Amazing.
Yeah. I feel like there would just be a lot of screaming and like distorted notes and things like that.
Yeah, that could be like a sort of modernist
rock musical.
Isn't that just
Toad? But like because of Jaws
expressionist
being like only because it's like only two notes, you can make it like this kind of expressionist, like weird modern type experience.
Do you know what? That sounds that if Mr. Arbon was going to write a musical.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
probably that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like
your
one
kind of
dark.
Just goes.
Yeah.
A shock. It's a shark.
There you go.
Yeah. We have so many options.
Is it a shark?
Yeah. So many options to play.
We need a bigger boat. There you go, it writes itself, doesn't it?
If you do say so yourself.
If you do say so yourself.
I'm a genius.
Perfect, trust. Guys. I think that is all we have time for this week. Thanks very much for joining us, guys. Thank you, Drama Ambassadors. Thanks, Miss.
Thank you.